For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the European Union and the United Kingdom have reached a trade and fishing deal in what's been called a post-Brexit reset agreement. Paul Johnston is the UK ambassador to Ireland. Paul, always good to talk to you, so thanks for taking the time. How would you describe the significance of this deal?
I think it's a big deal, Kieran. I think it's an important deal at an important time. It's 4.5 years since Britain left the European Union. The relationship has been scratchy for some of the period, both before and after we left. When Keir Starmer's government came into power last July, he set himself a target, the government a target of resetting relations with individual European countries, not least Ireland, but also with the EU as a whole. And today's meeting here in London is the first step, an important step in that process of getting onto a sounder, more effective footing with the European Union, our biggest trading partner, and obviously a very important security partner as well.
How would you then describe the nature of the relationship today?
I think it's a relationship that is reaching a new balance today. I think we've made important steps forward, taking some of the friction out of the trading relationship, putting more potential into cooperation on energy, on security broadly defined, on defence. So I think it's a relationship that's finding a new footing. It's almost remarkable to think, but it's almost a decade since Britain voted to leave the European Union. And now I think when you look at the complexities of the world around us, we're realising that the European Union is a really important partner for Britain. Many of us had realised that all the way through, but I think there's now a realisation on both sides, the UK and the European Union, as clear from the leader's statements today, that there's a great deal we need to do together and that we can do together. And today's summit, the first meeting at that level since Britain left the European Union, which will be the first of a series of annual summits, which is a symbol in itself, but also an important measure of the desire to have, you know, an incrementally growing relationship. Mm-hmm. I think all of that speaks to the fact that we realise the importance of having more stable, more effective, more fruitful relations with our nearest neighbours.
How much is it improved from maybe the nadir during those negotiations, you know, post that 2016 vote, before we got to the point of the withdrawal agreement, and maybe in and around as well the debate around the protocol and the Windsor framework? I mean, there were times, all right, as you said, the relationship got a little tatty.
Oh, yes, I remember it's almost exactly 3 years ago that Micheál Martin described the bilateral relationship between Britain and Ireland, but I think it spoke also to the British-EU relationship of being at an all-time low when Britain was planning to legislate to break, if necessary, the withdrawal agreement that we'd signed with the European Union. So this is a very different approach. This is about making new agreements rather than breaking existing ones. So I think it's not an exaggeration to say that the substance and the tone is transformed for the positive from where we were, certainly when I arrived in this job in September 2020, and for, I would say, most of the first half of my posting here. It was a really difficult, scratchy relationship, and now I think it's one with real potential and momentum. Not without difficulty, of course, but with a great deal of positivity around it.
I'm not for a moment, and I should say this at the outset, suggesting that COVID or the war in Ukraine were in any sense positive things, but perversely, did they strengthen the relationship, or did they change the value place in the relationship between the UK and the European Union, both of those experiences?
I think COVID was at times difficult. You may remember the European Commission triggering the so-called Article 16 of the Northern Ireland Protocol over COVID, and then that having to be unwound. But I think overall, both the health emergency that was COVID and the security emergency provoked by Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, I suppose, reminded people on both sides that there are big existential is an overused word, but really big strategic issues where we both face dangers together, and there's a lot more that we can do together than separately. And even without a security and defence relationship, former relationship with the EU over the last 3 years, we've done a lot working together on sanctions and on diplomatic pressure with the European Union over Ukraine. But what we're agreeing today and what we're working on from today will take that to a new level. So I think you're right. Some of the terrible things that have happened to Europe over the last few years, if there's been an upside, it's been the realisation that we need to work more closely and in a more systematic way with the European Union.
Might Donald Trump's approach to international or global trade change the nature of the relationship again?
Well, I think the Prime Minister said the terms of international trade have been reset in recent months, and the UK would make no secret of saying that we're not, just like Ireland, we're not in favour of tariffs, we're not in favour of artificial restrictions on trade. But I think we have to accept realistically that the relentless momentum towards globalisation and global free trade has gone into reverse in recent months. And we have managed to strike an economic deal with the US, also with India, and now we've struck an important deal with the European Union, which shows that deals can be done. And it also shows for us the importance of smoothing the trading relationship. 100,000 British companies export to the EU every year. That's become obviously more of a challenge since Brexit. What we're doing today is removing some of those challenges and making it more straightforward. And that's a good thing for Northern Ireland and for Ireland as a whole, as well as the UK-EU trade overall.
You described the terms of international trade have been upended or they've changed. Have the terms of international diplomacy as well? I'm conscious because you and I have spoken before, you know, a little bit about your career and you would have started in the kind of civil and foreign service kind of in that kind of post-Soviet era when it looked like everything was moving in the one direction. And I just maybe from your own personal point of view, to what extent do you feel, do you have a sense of your working norms being upended?
Yeah, you're making me feel very old now, but I joined
the,
and you're right as well. I joined the Ministry of Defence in 1990, and the first thing I was working on was the sort of the post-Cold War dividend of reducing defence spending because we thought we'd reached the end of the Cold War with Russia. Well, now as a whole, European countries are increasing the defence spending, in our case, 2.5% and then on to 3% of GDP. But that's a recognition of the world that we're sadly facing now and the consequences of what Russia has done. So, yeah, the world is a different place. Globalisation, the return of hardcore politics and deterrence has upended the way we operate. And some of the assumptions about being in what one British diplomat called a sort of a postmodern world in terms of international relations have certainly been challenged. We're very much back in a sort of modern and in some respects a pre-modern world, and we all need to relearn lessons for defence and security policy, obviously coming from different places and perhaps going to different places. But I think, the short answer is it's a harder, more brutal, less idealistic world than the world that we thought we were perhaps living in some of the period and the early stages of my professional career, anyway.
And where does that leave countries like the UK or like Ireland or other European Union member states that have thrived in this kind of globalized world order that's existed since kind of the end of the war and that kind of really grew as well post kind of Berlin Wall and Soviet collapse?
I think you need to be adaptable. You need to look across the whole range of your national assets. So, you know, investing in higher education, in skills, building out modern infrastructure, thinking about your national, your added value. So Britain is about to announce a new industrial strategy, and I'm sure that will look at things like high-end manufacturing, spending on research and development, how you commercialise academic research, how you join up your great universities with manufacturing and with financial markets. So I think you need to look at security broadly defined. I remember when the Prime Minister, the Taoiseach, met leading business people in Liverpool at the bilateral summit. The Taoiseach and the Prime Minister both sort of fastened on the idea of economic security and that in the world where global free trade and assumptions about benign countries around the world no longer exist. you need to look perhaps closer to home for aspects of economic security. And I think that's why today's announcements about the UK-EU relationship are really important, because trust and reliability and secure supply chains are things that I think now are probably more about geographical proximity than they were 10 or 15 years ago.
And finally, Paul, to that point you make about, you know, increased defence spending that has happened over the last couple of years and will continue to happen, what do you say to people listening to this who feel a sense of disquiet? People maybe who on the face of it accept the rationality for it, absolutely, but they look at the lessons of history and they worry that you get to a point where to a hammer the whole world looks like a nail.
I think the converse is, if you imagine that you can deter bad people and bad regimes by soft power diplomacy and by development projects and by, you know, nice words and nice actions, then sadly, I think history would teach you that that's not the case. I think you need to be hard-edged. Obviously, you need to pursue peace very hard. And only this afternoon, President Trump and President Putin are speaking. We must all hope that, you know, Western pressure will bring Putin to see that it's time to end his illegal and unjustified invasion. But we also have to realise that unless like-minded countries take their defence and security seriously and are prepared to put action behind their words, then dictators and bad regimes will seek to exploit and undermine us. So, you know, you don't get something for nothing. You don't get freedom for freedom for nothing either. And, we need to invest in our collective and individual security.
Well, on that note, confirmation in just the last couple of moments that the phone call has come to an end between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, but no official word yet from the White House or from the Kremlin. As soon as that happens, we'll bring it to you here on the show. In the meantime, Paul, thank you for speaking to us. Paul Johnson is the UK ambassador to Ireland.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.